Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Casino.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
Yes, that lion boy's on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Yes.
Yes, sir. 201 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you as we got you for the next 3 hours. We take you to the warm-up show at 5. We got Fleegs on the other side taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019 right here on this Wednesday morning. As we got a little baseball injected into our lives yesterday with, to me, undoubtedly, we'll get to the Mets. We'll get to the idea that Nimmo could be on the move. McNeil could be on the move. You just heard Montas, which Fleece just whispered to me, hopefully is the worst move that Stearns ever makes. And hopefully it is. But we got plenty of Mets to get to, but we have to start with the New York Yankees. And Brian Cashman in specific, because I know I'm the Cashman chill. I know I never criticize him, and I can see it already. I can see the calls rolling in saying he's the worst GM of all time and the Yankees have no chance to win a World Series without him, and me pushing back and getting off of this idea that today he messed up. Because that's the truth. The truth is, today, Brian Cashman messed up. And I hate saying that because I really like Trent Grisham. Trent Grisham is a good player, right? And I heard Keith before, like, we're going to disagree on this one, Keith. I appreciate you hanging in and wanting to listen and get involved. But, like, we're going to disagree on this one that it doesn't hurt the New York Yankees. Because, yes, Trent Grisham is a good player. Trent Grisham had a great year last year for the New York Yankees. He was clutch. He hit big home run after big home run. And I don't even hold the postseason over him all that much. We have seen how many guys have bad postseasons. Like, I'm not going to... He was awful in the postseason. He killed them as a leadoff hitter. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if it's reverted back or whatever. He had a bad postseason. I can point to almost every guy you want to bring in here had a bad postseason at some time. We went over Kyle Tucker's numbers yesterday and his postseason history. I can give you every Yankee fan, every Yankee you love had a bad postseason. That's not necessarily about it either. So I like Trent Grisham. He had a great year, and I don't think it makes the Yankees a worse team just having Trent Grisham on it, but there is no way in hell that you can tell me that this Yankee offseason and trying to improve this Yankee team, that it benefits them to pay Trent Grisham $22 million. It hurts them. And without question, for whatever you think of Brian Cashman, and I know it's all negative for you, most of you, and all the trades, the trade deadline, the big money on big-time contracts that don't work out, then not playing in the ballpark for other big-time free agents, Freddie Freeman, Harper, Manny Machado, whoever your favorite, whichever one of those is your favorite, and there's plenty. whether it's, you know, Josh Donaldson. There are tons of moves over the last handful of years, and obviously one championship since 2000 is not enough, and there's plenty of reasons to get on Brian Cashman. Even if I push back on some of them, there's plenty of reasons to get on Brian Cashman. Reading the market typically isn't one. This is usually, whether he wants to get involved in the market or not, he typically has a good feel for the market. He typically understands. And he completely whiffed on this. I don't care. And there's two distinct conversations about this. One, like, yes, is there a plan? Is there always a chance he takes it? Of course. Did the Yankees offer this qualifying offer without an idea of what they're going to do if he takes it, or there's not a plan in place? What happens if he takes it? Or there were, you know, discussions with Hal Steinbrenner on what happens if he takes it? Of course. So we'll see how it plays out before we go absolutely nuclear and go absolutely crazy and scream to the high heavens about how awful this team is. Let's see how it plays out. But there is no doubt in my mind Brian Cashman rolled the dice on getting a pick.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Assuming that Trent Grisham, off of the year he just had with the lockout looming, with reports out there that the Angels and the Pirates and, you know, teams that have sometimes, I know the Angels have spent money throughout the years, but like that maybe teams inside this market right now with the uncertainty of moving forward are might be willing to spend some money. I am surprised Trent Grisham didn't turn down this offer and look for more guaranteed money. And I promise you, so are the Yankees. I don't want... Yes, of course they had a plan. Yes, of course they knew this was possible. But there is no way in hell that Brian Cashman, the New York Yankees, and specifically Hal Steinbrenner, wanted this to happen. This was not the outcome the Yankees desired. They wanted him to turn it down. They wanted to get their picks, and they wanted to go about building this team. There is no doubt in my mind. This was a bad day for the New York Yankees. And again, I feel bad saying that because Trent Grisham is a good baseball player who helped them immensely last year. And maybe he's clicked, and maybe he'll give them another good year. But ultimately, at $22 million, and looking at this payroll already, right now, they are at 282, somewhere around there, between 282 and 286. It's always a little bit up in the air, depending on how you do it. But they've signed, you know, Tim Hill, Ryan Yarbrough, and now Trent Grisham. And that has eaten up almost all of the money up until that 300. They are out somewhere between 18 and 16, somewhere around there, or excuse me, 18 and $20 million left to underneath this 300. $300 million payroll. Like, those three players, Ryan Yarbrough, Tim Hill, and Trent Grisham, that has already eaten up an enormous portion of where we expect the Yankees to go. And I said, I don't think that Hal Steinbrenner has this hard and fast rule of under 300. If that doesn't make any sense, because he went above it last year where they finished at 316. So, like, I think the reports of Joel Sherman are just based on the conversations that Hal has had throughout the years saying you don't need a $300 million payroll to build a championship team, not the idea that he's hard and fast, you know, has this absolute desire to get under $300 million. And right now, there is no question he's going over it. Otherwise, this is going to be one of the worst Yankee offseasons of all time because Cody Bellinger puts them over it. The next move, whatever they do, is putting them over $300 million, so you can forget that. The Yankees are going over $300 million. If Hal Steinbrenner had that hard and fast rule, they would have never made this qualifying offer because you couldn't take the risk of paying Trent Grisham $22 million if you were determined on getting under $300 million. That is out the window, and that's why, for me, from this moment on, We talk a lot about Hal. I talk a lot about Hal. And I think he gets too much flack. And I think he's called cheap too much when he's spending $300 million consistently. Yeah, there's a hole here, a gap here, where it would be nice to put a little bit extra money and fill it. And he doesn't. He doesn't go that last step to go all in and make us all happy. Granted, but he's not cheap. And it gets overblown. But now, without question, this is the offseason of Hal Steinbrenner, because this qualifying offer has put the Yankees in a position where if they're going to go out and fix their holes, and they've been connected to everyone, I mean everyone, even Passan when he put out his final, you know, his major offseason article yesterday, has them connected to Tucker. We all know they want and desire to have Bellinger back. They obviously still need an arm or two at the minimum in the bullpen. They've been connected to the star Japanese pitcher that's coming out. They've been connected to both of the star the infield sluggers coming out of Japan, and Murakami and Okamoto. Like, they've been connected to everyone. Now, does that mean they're actually in on everyone? No, but they've been connected to everyone. This offseason needed to be an offseason to improve a team that wasn't good enough. And they talked about trying to fill their holes. They still have a major hole at shortstop. As of right now, they don't have a left fielder. They're going to have three guys in the starting rotation start the year on the IL. No shortstop, really, to start the year, and I guess they're comfortable going with what they're comfortable with. No left fielder, as of right now, unless it's Jason Dominguez. At least another arm or two out of the bullpen they're in need of. And, I mean, obviously the starting rotation needs at least a pitcher, unless that's Ryan Yarbrough. So right now, this is without question. Brian Cashman has put Hal Steinbrenner in a situation where he has to spend. There is no doubt about it. And I remember Evan talking about, and different people talking about, well, the qualifying offer signifies that Hal is willing to spend, that there's money out there. You don't offer this without being willing to spend more money. Well, we're going to find out. Because as much as I will maybe tell you sometimes about this offense, and clearly looking at it, this is how the Yankees now feel. This is an offense that led the league in home runs, an offense that led the league in runs scored, an offense that led the league in OPS, an offense that, you know, was a dominant force throughout the regular season, but we know what happened in the postseason, and we know what the bottom of the order looks like. And you cannot just roll it back. You can't just roll out Anthony Volpe at shortstop. You can't just roll out a Ryan McMahon who didn't hit it all for the Yankees at third, making $16 million, and we'll get to how that's impacted them too. You can't just roll out the same outfield as good as it was last year. You can't roll out the same 6, 7, 8, 9. You would need leaps from so many people. You would need leaps from your catcher. You would need leaps from your shortstop. You would need a much better season from your third baseman. You need Jazz to have a healthy, complete season. You need Ben Rice to duplicate the hard hit rate with more actual success at first base. You need Trent Grisham to have the same type of year. That is so many ifs and needs to bring back the same team as last year. And I just don't, I don't get, and I'll be honest with you, I just talked about this yesterday, about my preference for Bellinger over Tucker. For me, this is where now I'm looking at Hal Steinbrenner and say, Hal, you're going over this final number. You're going over the luxury tax. And quite honestly, now the main reason I preferred Bellinger over Tucker is he was flexible and could play center field, assuming they wouldn't have one. But now they have one in Trent Grisham for this year. Now, for me, Kyle Tucker is more in play. I know everyone's reacting, well, now Kyle, you could forget Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker is now more in play because you could just throw him in left field. I think a lot's more in play now. I think you are looking at the certainty of trading at least one of Dominguez and Spencer Jones, if not both. I think now you're more confident. You could play Grisham in center field. Now you only need a left fielder. And now you're spending money anyway and going over that luxury tax probably at a good clip anyway. Now, for me, after this, Kyle Tucker is more in play for the New York Yankees. It makes more sense. You don't need his defensive flexibility as much. He's the better offensive player. You're going to have to spend money more than you want to anyway. Why not go get the better player? Worry about center field next year. Oh, it's still only a one-year deal with Trent Grisham. How much could it hurt you? Okay, well, then act like it's only a one-year deal, and then you play a defensive center fielder next year or 2 years from now if there is baseball next year. This is now the offseason of Hal Steinbrenner. Where is he willing to go payroll rise? Because this absolutely threw an absolute monkey wrench right into the middle of keeping this number respectable, keeping this number right at around where it was last year or right around $300 million. I don't know how you do that with $22 million to Trent Grisham. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you add the little bit of contact you need. I don't know how you add that extra starting pitcher. I don't know how you bring back Bellinger. I don't know how you improve the bottom of the order. I don't know how you add bullpen arms. I don't know how you do all of that, which is clearly what they need, while keeping it to a number that this owner, we all know, is comfortable with. And that number isn't necessarily $300 million, but it ain't much more than that. And at 285, at 282 to 286, whatever exact number it is, it's somewhere around there. Just bringing back Bellinger brings them to practically last year. Just bringing back Bellinger alone puts them at roughly the same number they were at last year. He made $25 million last year. He's probably going to get a pay raise in the open market now. You're looking at almost $30 million. They're already at 285. Like, that's it. That's it. They still have a lot more to do. So this is either going to be the offseason of Hal Steinbrenner and being willing to open up the pocketbook to levels we haven't seen him do in a while, or this is going to be the most creative trade market offseason Brian Cashman has ever pulled out of his hat of all time, or it's going to be extremely disappointing. Now, again, We'll get to why Trent Grisham took it. That's a different conversation. I'm surprised he did. And yeah, there is a difference. Like, because I got so much pushback, at least a little bit on the Cashman defenders, if you can believe there are some out there, that they wouldn't have offered this if they didn't have a plan. Of course they have a plan. Is it a good one? And is it their first initial? Like, to me, without question, the Yankees are pissed today. And Brian Cashman misread this thing, and he knows it. He knows it. Because as good as Trent Grisham was last year, what is the likelihood that Trent Grisham, who, yes, should have played more 2 years ago and should have played over Verdugo at times and got a better look, and they talked about that heading into the offseason last year, and he got more of a look and had a great year. He was still hitting under 200 for a lot of, like, 2 years ago. Like, he had his top number was 17 prior to the 32 hit this year. Like, do we really expect Trent Grisham to have the same season? And even if he does, was that team good enough to win? The bottom of the order needs to be better. I was looking to add another infield bat. I'm looking to make trades to add to the outfield for contact purposes. Now there's too many outfielders. Trent Grisham being a part of this team makes it more difficult to field the kind of team that improves them contact-wise, improves them depth-wise, keeps the money somewhat in the ballpark of where this owner wants to keep it. There is no doubt about it. I don't care what anybody says. Good players on one-year deals are never a bad move. You just saw it. A good player who had a good year on a one-year deal, this is a bad contract. I understand the prevailing thought of one-year deals aren't bad. This is it. Unless Hal is going to go crazy. And for me, like I said before, this changes my mind on Tucker versus Bellinger. You want to spend money? Go spend money now, Hal. Go spend money. Go get the starting pitcher. Go get Tucker. Have 1 year chasing a championship with Judge before the lockout. You'll have Trent Grisham on a one-year deal. And then if you do all that next year, play Dominguez, play Spencer Jones if you don't trade him, or go get a cheap defensive center fielder. You can live with that. You can live with that. But there is no doubt that was a devastating blow for me to what they can do, the options they have. I think now you're looking at trading either both or certainly one of Spencer and Dominguez, because you have to do something to bring bullpen arms in here. You have to do something to probably get another starting pitcher. You have to do something. You could trade from your pitching depth, but I think that would probably scare the Yankees, considering they're looking to add a starting pitcher, or, you know, add to that starting pitching depth, and they've traded away so many different starting pitchers prospects over the last handful of years. Like, this absolutely completely derails any opportunity of building a better, deeper, more contact offense and an overall deeper team while staying somewhere near the number that Hal Steinbrenner would feel comfortable. This is now the offseason of Hal. Will he spend? Because he's going way over that number if he wants to field a winning team. And this is what he's always said. To be fair to Hal, let's see how the season plays out. Let's see how the offseason plays out. He has always said that you shouldn't have to spend $300 million to build a championship-level team. Well, his general manager, and I'm curious to see how Hal feels about this, right? After years of thinking he can write his own contract and be here forever, Hal likes to say you don't need $300 million to build a championship-level team. His general manager just made that impossible for him. His general manager misreading this market, offering a qualifying offer, and risking this just to get a draft pick has made that statement impossible for the New York Yankees this season. Is Hal going to keep it to $300 million and say it's up to you, Cash, to figure this out? Or is he going to say, I have to spend if we want to win, and that's what needs to happen? We're going to find out whether Hal has a little bit of his father in him, or if Hal is going to just hold firm to his shareholders and, you know, the idea of how much money they're making, or worrying about the new CBA coming up. Or is he going to do what needs to be done? Because, to be honest with you, they need another shortstop. They still need a left fielder. They need at least two bullpen arms. They need a starting pitcher to get them through the beginning of the season. That's a lot of things still needed with a little amount of room in the payroll he likes to keep. Brian Cashman just blew up the offseason for Hal Steinbrenner. Let's see how Hal responds. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Mets, the news about Pete, and whether or not the Mets are firm in their beliefs on his value. Would the Mets be willing to move McNeil, clearly? Would they be willing to move Nimmo? As Jeff Passan put out a bunch of names, Nimmo, Vientos, Beatty, all possibly available for the New York Mets. We'll get to Cam Scataboo, who was the talk of the town yesterday, and I was under attack from the afternoon show for my take on it, which my take was it's bad optics. And I don't know if you listened to the fan all day, but... yeah, it's bad optics.